The following essay was originally aired in 2004. You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, July 30th, 6:15 a.m. Northern California Coast, Palmer Point, Redwood Park Complex. Iconic mental images from day hikes through this lush landscape reverberate spontaneously. Filtered sunlight beneath groves of redwoods more than 300 feet high and well over 1,000 years old. The crunch of gravel beside a clear, sparkling stream surrounded by steep canyon walls coated lavishly in ferns. Three bull elk with velvet-covered seven-point antlers browsing together while wading in a freshwater lagoon in front of a background of crashing waves. This morning, the combined gravitational forces of the Earth, Sun, and Moon are precisely aligned so that a minus tide of nearly 2 feet has exposed the rocky intertidal shoreline several hundred feet below this towering headland. Chocolate-brown California sea lions huddle together on one of several dozen sea stacks beyond the surf line. Gray harbor seals drape themselves over newly exposed rocks, sleeping in the white foamy chaos while awaiting the returning tide. A huge prehistoric landslide has strewn thousands of boulders over several acres of gravel beach. The relentless pounding surf has barely rounded the sharp angular surfaces of this sprawling stony pile. The North American continent and the Pacific Ocean confront each other dramatically on the Redwood Coast. The ocean propels a continuous swirl of viscous summer fog surging inland, only to melt away a few miles eastward over the harsh relief of the Siskiyou Mountains. Year-round moisture in the form of winter rains and summer fog drip allows the drought-sensitive coast redwoods to thrive in a narrow strip along 450 miles of California's coastline. This is the final stand for a species that dominated the American landscape for millions of years. Only 4% of the 2 million acres of old-growth forest that stood in 1850 when logging began survives today. Negotiating my way over boulders covered in a thick, slimy coating of rockweed, sea lettuce, and kelp requires concentration and the use of hands in a kind of spider walk to stabilize my advance toward the deeper pools. This narrow band of coastline between the highest high tides and the lowest low tides harbors an ecosystem that cycles the richest source of minerals and nutrients on Earth. Each wave serves up a stew of plankton and algae that feed mussels, barnacles, and other filter feeders. They in turn feed crabs, urchins, anemones, stars, fish, and others. Many of the same life forms that flourished in this harsh environment in the Cambrian era 500 million years ago are still here today. Relatives of every major group of invertebrates on the planet can be found in a single tide pool. Space is at a premium. Nothing is uncontested. Precise and perfect adaptation to the fierce press of elements has been an indispensable ingredient for survival for hundreds of millions of years. Life is so diverse and intimately entangled, it is impossible to easily sort out. Rewards come quickly, however, when one patiently observes a small area, paying attention to minutiae. In the upper intertidal, mussels and barnacles cling in dense clusters to rocks now well above my head. Commonly seen mid-tidal animals like green anemones, purple shore crabs, and ochre stars are abundant. But the deeper pools reveal seldom-seen creatures like giant Pacific chitons, white-spotted anemones, and brilliant orange sunstars. The long, bright emerald-green leaves of surf grass lie draped over rocks, unsupported by the missing waves. This is one of the few flowering plants that is adapted to seawater. The first people harvested their sweet rhizomes to eat and dry for the winter. Several species of nudibranch or sea slugs are found here. About the size of garden slugs, their spectacular colors and patterns are startlingly beautiful. I discover one with a flat lemon-yellow body and black spots. Another is white and elongated with bright orange projections. Dancing just beneath the surface is a beautiful frosted nudibranch. Its back has leaf-like projections edged with a fine, brilliant white line. Mount Pisgah Arboretum presents Wet Feet and Cool Treats on Saturday, August 1st from 1 to 3 p.m. Kids and families can explore the amazing aquatic world of the Arboretum with nature guide Tom Bettman. Kids and families will hike the river and water garden trails and catch live critters in the river and pond while learning the importance of the little stuff in nature. Cool off after the hike with homemade ice cream. Meet at the Mount Pisgah Arboretum Visitor Center. Call 747-1504 to RSVP. There's a small fee for non-members. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y at msn.com.